to just talk to us today. If he feels like preaching, he can do that. If he feels like teaching, he can do that as well here today. Amen. But we just want him to come. And Sister Johns, I want to say again just how honored I am that you're here today. Amen. God bless you. Brother Johns, come. Amen. And preach to us here this morning. God bless you. Love you.
Thank you, Pastor Cowan. Amen. Give honor to the words for the work they've done. And above all, we give honor to God, who did it, who really did it all. Who really did it all. I have a good friend in California. He was just talking about people writing books and about things he said they really don't know about. He said, "Now, Brother Johns, if you would write a book on building the church, I would read it." I said, "Well, it wouldn't take me long to write a book on building a church. It would be titled, I don't know how in the world it happened." I said, "Because it don't. Because we do our best, but our best is nothing if God doesn't help us." And so we give honor to the Lord that allowed us to labor for him. Amen. We're going to be reading from chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews here in just a moment. Again, I want to thank Pastor Cowan for his kindness to us during our stay, the nice room and all the nice meals, and for allowing us a little liberty yesterday to go visit an old friend. And it was a great trip for us and a great time for them. But I've come today wanting to do the will of the Lord, because nothing else really matters. And this morning, the Lord began to bring this thought to my mind, and worked on a few things. And so I'm going to do my best this morning. And there's a central theme in a lot of my teaching and in my preaching, and it's simply this: about the Spirit. We can't do anything without the Spirit. A lot of times, there's when a man preaches, some people are so mentally involved in examining the words that he's saying that they never get the spirit of what is being said. And then sometimes we question the motives of the preacher because we don't feel the spirit of the preacher. And if we can feel the spirit of the preacher, we won't ever worry about the motive of the preacher. Because if you feel the spirit of a real man of God, the spirit behind his preaching, you'll know he's just trying to help me. He's just trying to help me. And sometimes it doesn't always feel good when you're being helped. Anybody ever been through rehab? Been through rehab? I self-rehabbed one time from a pretty severe knee injury, and I didn't have anybody to make me do it. I just wanted to be better. And if I quit because it hurt, I'd be limping around here today. But I made up my mind, I'm going to whip this. I was still young. I was only 41, 42, and pretty much destroyed my knee, and spent about 5 weeks in a removable cast. And then when the doctor said, "You can start working a little bit," well, a little bit means to me, here we go. And in less than 6 months, I was about all back out on the football field playing football, having fun with the young men in my church. And so sometimes you don't always enjoy the process of becoming what God wants you to be. For the product to be what God wants it to be, sometimes the process. I'm very honest. I didn't like everything that happened to me. I didn't enjoy everything that happened to me. I didn't like everything that's happening trying to build a church. I don't like the heartache, the sorrow, the struggles. I didn't like having all our stuff destroyed. But everything put something in me. And when we got ready to spend a year in a tent in my backyard while we were building our building. I told my church, I said, we got to have some character. And God builds character through adversity. And I said, this is going to be good times. This is going to be good times. And I'll forget, we were on the tent about 3 weeks, and it just had sides came down partway because it was too hot if we didn't. And it started raining. And we poured a concrete slab, and I told them, you know, pitch it off to the sides. And I think they thought I meant to pitch it into the middle. And I watched as rain started running across the floor. It started getting a little deeper. And then I watched people that said, is it going to stop us? And they didn't start worrying about their shoes getting wet. Amen. They started worshiping God, dancing, shouting, and just said, we're going to let the Lord know we're going to have church. And your adversity can't stop you. You can't allow your adversity to stop you from having church for yourself. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Again, thank you, Brother Cowan, for the invitation, allowing us to be here. And by the grace of God, we want to help you. Let me help you. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. A good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God, we love you. We're so thankful to be in your house. Thank you for your touch upon this service, God. And I pray that you draw every heart and every mind together right now, that you could talk to us, God, that you would anoint us, Lord, that the word today would get into our heart. And Lord, not just affect us for a little while, but influence us for the rest of our lives, oh God, to change how we think and how we look at things. Help me, God, to convey your word today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. And again, this is a real common scripture to us, and so we've heard it before. And we've heard it a bunch of times. And so we have to be careful that we don't just say, oh, here we go again. So I want to talk to you this morning, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to deliver the word of God, whether it's teaching or preaching. And sometimes what it is in the eye of the beholder. And so I want to talk to you about the Creator today. The Creator. Amen. One of the first things we read when we look at our Bible and the order it's put in, it's not necessarily in chronological order, but in the order of the Bible. We read the verses that talk to us about the creative power of God, that in the beginning, God created heaven, or the heaven and the earth. And it says that the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then I want you to listen to what happened. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I think it's important to remember that the beginning of all things was not the voice of God, but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. When God created it, he literally caused existence where previously, or at just a moment before, there was no being. There was nothing there. God spoke it into being. The original Hebrew word, it speaks of the commencement of something, or expresses that something came into existence that prior to that moment didn't exist. It was not an entity. There was nothing there. And so the Bible teaches us that God took nothing and made something out of it. Without form meant that it was lying in waste or to be desolate. And theologically, they believe that God created the matter of the earth, and then he put it all in order. He created the materials, and then he began to work on the raw materials that he had spoken into existence. In fact, that the word without form is really one just word, and it gives the idea of confusion, disorder, that God just put it out there. And if we'd have looked at it, we wouldn't have seen anything. But in the mind of God, he knew what he was going to do with this mass of confusion or chaos, without form, without any kind of beauty. But God knew in his mind. So some say that the earth, when God spoke it into existence, started in a condition of chaos. One writer said this: God seems at first to have created the elementary principles of all things, and this formed the grand mass of matter, which is in this state must be without arrangement or in a distinction of parts. They said it was just a vast collection of indescribable confused matter. There was just a bunch of stuff. It was like if you went to the junkyard and there's just a bunch of stuff. I know people that go to the junkyard and find stuff and turn it into something. And so there was just all these things. One writer said they were nameless entities. They were just, God said, let there be. And there all these things were coming to being. And another writer said, God in the beginning created the substance of the heavens and the substance of the earth. And a lot of this ties into when we talk about faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It hadn't all come together yet, but the materials, faith is the material for seeing things come to pass. And so God created the substance. One writer said the prima materia, or the first elements, the things that he was going to take. And out of those things, he was going to make the heavens and the earth. They would be formed from these things that if the human eye could have beheld them, it was a mass of confusion and no order. And so God, from this, brought into being or into existence, amen, all things. He took from this chaos, he made order, he made form, and he put it all in order, made it all just work together. And then, as I said, we need to think about this. The Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so one writer said that the Spirit of God was brooding over the face, that it was working or affecting, amen, the face of the waters. When they use the word move here, they said it signifies some type of communication, that God, through the Spirit, it was a communication. They said it gave a vital principle, or it gave life. It caused things to start to happen, amen, that it seemed were impossible. They say that God, when he spoke to these things and the Spirit moved on them, it gave them the power to produce things. And we're going to look at what the Bible says and all these things. And so there wasn't life. There was just things. And God then spoke life into existence. And everything we know today was formed by the Word of God. Yes. When you start looking in New Testament times, a very common word you find, and really predates the New Testament writings, but it was very common Greek word that we speak of the Word of God, or sometimes God himself, was a word, was logos, when we talk about the Word of God. And then in the Greek culture is a very prominent philosophical concept. It was not just a biblical term, but in the Greek culture of the early Roman Empire, this is what they thought of when you said logos. It meant reasoning as a controlling principle of the universe. And so when they thought about logos, and that's why the Apostle Paul, in his wisdom, brought that word into the explanation of God and who God is and how God works. And so they gave an example when you want to understand what the Logos is. The Logos was not just the word, but one of the examples one writer gave was that he said you would have to think of a playwright, and he gets a concept in his mind, and then he thinks about what he is going to write. That's the Logos. It's the idea. It's the thought. And then he begins to write it down on paper and put it all in order. And it's still the Logos. It's just being expressed a little more clearly. And he said, and then it would be that same play acted out on the stage where people could see it and get a greater understanding of what he was talking about. I like to liken it to kind of an architect. And before you can build something, somebody has to get a concept in their mind. They have to see it here. And you've built a lot. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to explain to people what you're seeing and what the concept is. And so you sketch it out. And not everybody can read blueprints, right? I can, not good. I'm not prolific at it. I've got a guy in my church. He's semi-illiterate, but you give him a tape measure and he's spitting out numbers because that's what he does. He's actually dyslexic, and so he had difficulty reading. But in his business, he's reading a tape measure, and he thinks you're a dummy if you can't read a tape measure. And so it's the architect, the designer, he's got it in his head, but he puts it down on paper, and more people can understand the concept when they see it on the paper. But a lot of people have no clue. Right. But when you start putting it together, I'll never forget, we built a 10,000 square foot building. We poured the slab and laid in my church. He said, you know, Pastor, that just doesn't look that big. Right. I said, okay. Of course, it's sitting in the middle of 10 acres. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, next time it rains, you go over there and mop it. Yeah. If you're not thinking it's that big, next time it rains, you go over there and mop it. And it'll get bigger. But as you start building, everybody else can understand a little bit better. Right. Oh, yeah, now I see what you're talking about. Now I see what you're doing. And so that's what it's like with God. God knows what he wants to do. And God can express through his word and in his word what he wants to do. And he can use the preacher of the word of God to express what he wants to do. But we really don't have a concept of what God is going to do until we see it start forming up and taking shape. Yeah, right. And realize, hey, I didn't see it all. I didn't understand it all. And that happens a lot when we're building. Once we got enclosed every Sunday night, we were pushing hard. So we just had church on Sunday morning. And once a month, I'd let everybody come to the building. And we'd pray, and then I'd tell them where we're at in the program, what was going on. And when you started forming up the walls and stuff, people, well, where's the platform going to be? Yes. Oh, right over here. Right over here. And then this is going to be, and people started, you know what it did? It helped them. It increased their faith because it was just an idea and a concept that was foreign to a lot of them. But when it started taking shape, I'll just put it this way. People that have a lot of faith get it from the beginning. But people that don't have a whole lot of faith, you got to finish it before they believe it. And so when we talk about the Logos of God, it covers all the bases in the mind of God. He already knew what he was going to do. And even when he spoke matter into existence, the angels looked and they're like, what a mess. What are you doing? And if he tried to explain it to them, they couldn't get the concept. But when he started making it happen, when little by little, things started taking shape. And so when you talk about the Logos, they say the noun speaks of the thought, the unexpressed word. Here it is in our mind, and we start thinking thoughts and I learned a long time ago, if I had a good thought, I better write it down. because it's going somewhere else when I get done thinking about it after a little while. And it's got to be moved forward. It's got to be moved forward. I've had some good thoughts, and later on I thought, what was that? What was that? I stopped and wrote some things down this morning because I knew they would disappear from my mind in just a little while. And so the concept that God had in his mind became reality as he began to speak. And we're gonna look at creation this morning for a little while. I know this is simplistic, but I want us to understand something today about the power of God's creative thought versus his creative word. What he says versus what happens. Well, and so the Spirit of God moving as the words were spoken brought about the work of God. The work of God. And I don't care how good a preacher is, if the Spirit of God isn't moving on the hearer,
sure.
He's wasting his time. He's speaking into the air. In Hebrews 11:3, we read through faith, we understand. It's not an intellectual achievement. But he said, why do you believe God's a creator? Because he said it. Amen. We just believe it.
Yeah.
Well, can you prove it's right? I don't have to prove it's right.
That's right.
I believe it was Thomas A. Kempis that said, to he who hath faith, no explanation is necessary. To he who hath not faith, no explanation is possible. And so by faith, we don't need scientific proof, even though there's a bunch of it. We don't need archaeological proof, even though there's a bunch of it. I'll never forget, it was in the 80s. I used to get in U.S. News and World Report, and I would read it. And this was a breaking scientific discovery that the streams, amen, that broke out and formed rivers and flowed down in the sea, that the water went back underground and returned to the springs, and it was a cycle. And I thought, well, that's been in the Bible a long time.
Amen.
Solomon knew that. And so I didn't need them to discover that because I already believed it. I thought, wow, scientists are starting to catch up with Christians finally. And so we believe that God formed or framed the world by his spoken word, and that the things that we see were made of things which were not seen or did not formally exist. They weren't there. God spoke matter into existence. And so the work of creation began with the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. That's where it started. If you're going to get anything from God, you're not going to get it just because you heard what a man said. You're going to get it because the Spirit of God started working on your heart. Because it's not just the words of man, it's the Word and the Spirit working together. And so the moving or the working of the Spirit preceded the spoken word. And we believe in praying before we preach, but some people don't really understand what they're supposed to be doing. It's about opening my heart.
Yeah.
And I prayed every time I prayed before I preached that God would anoint the hearer.
Sure.
God would anoint the hearer. The word's anointed, and I've got to be anointed, but if that's as far as it goes, if something doesn't happen in you and God doesn't anoint you.
Yeah.
I heard one man say it this way. He said the same anointing that came on the writers of the Word of God has got to move on the preacher of the Word of God. And it's got to move on the hearer of the Word of God. Or the Word of God is never going to accomplish what it's meant to accomplish.
All right.
And so the church is not built on intellectualism. The purpose of preaching is not to challenge our intellect.
Sure.
Or to make us doctrinal intellects. The Bible tells that the letter killeth. But the Spirit giveth life. And all those things, when it's all about the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, and you're only doing it out of formality, it doesn't give you life. But when you get the Spirit of it,
yes.
When you get the Spirit of it, if you're doing it because it's black and white, and the law says, and this and that, Jesus said, it didn't work. Paul said that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to get us ready, to get a better revelation. And so it takes the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God moving on us to make us what we need to be. For us to even grasp the concept of what God is trying to say to us.
Amen.
You're never going to be smart enough. You're never going to be wise enough. You're going to never know your Bible good enough that you're going to be able to get it without the help of the Holy Ghost.
All right.
Amen. Right. There were some folks in the church I grew up in. I wasn't going there when they got this smart, but they quit carrying the Bibles to church. And somebody asked them, why don't you carry a Bible to church? They said, we already know everything.
Well.
They had actually been to Bible college. They weren't in the ministry. They just were saints in the church, and they were a little up they're probably as old as I am. They're old folks. But they just decided, we already know everything. We're just trying to get our attendance award. We didn't really come to hear because, we already know that. When we think that way, you know, there's just some passages in the Bible that are going to be taught and preached to us over and over and over and over and over and over because they're foundational.
Yes.
They're concepts that we got to not just know, we got to remember and we got to live by. And so God's Spirit began to move on this world. And His Word began to go forth. But it was the Spirit moving on those things, those elements that heard the Word, that made the Word efficacious. Or gave the Word the ability to bring about the intended result. The intended result. I don't really need those, but it makes me look smarter when I wear them. Somebody said I need a better prescription, but the Word isn't ever going to do what it can do if we don't get the Spirit of the Word.
Yes.
And I know people say, well, I got the Holy Ghost. The boy in Bible school, he was getting chewed out by the president. And the boy looked at me and said, you don't think I have the Holy Ghost? He said, well, I don't know about that, but I know this. The Holy Ghost doesn't have you.
All right.
Holy Ghost doesn't have you. You may have talked in tongues, but the Holy Ghost isn't running your life today.
Come on.
And so it takes the Spirit of God. The church is a spiritual entity. The New Testament church is all about Spirit. And that didn't take away from the Word. Well, because faith cometh by hearing. Right. Hearing by the Word of God. We're built on truth. We're built on the Word. But the Word without the Spirit isn't going to ever bring us to where we need to be.
Right.
Read the Old Testament. That's a lot of what the Old Testament is all about. Laws, ordinances, precepts, even having access to God, but not having the Spirit of God within us.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. And so when we read the account of creation, the words that were spoken in the creative acts were very simple words, right? They lacked detailed description. Now, if I just told Brother Cowan, I want you to build me cabinets. Well, he knows how to build cabinets. But he don't know how to build them like I want them built if I don't tell him plainly.
Right.
And so God didn't have blueprints. And I'm just going by what's recorded in the Bible, but the Bible says God said, and what took place.
Yes.
But if you compare what took place to what God said, there's a vast chasm between what he said and what happened. There's a lot of blanks to be filled in there.
A lot of blanks. Yeah.
Let there be light. Well, what kind of light? Incandescent? Luminescent? Sodium vapor? He said natural power. He didn't have to say anything, because the Spirit of God was moving on the elements. Well, there's some things your pastor can't really explain to you. Like I said the other night, I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you.
All right.
And there's some things he can preach to you. He said the other night, you got to catch it. It's got to be caught. It's got to be caught. You got to get hold of it. And so the difference between what your pastor says and what takes place in your life is the work of the Holy Ghost in your life.
All right.
We're all hearing the same thing, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's what, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote about. They're all baptized in the Moses, in the cloud, and in the sea. They all did eat the same spiritual meat. They all did drink from the water that came.
Yes.
They all had the same experience, but it didn't bring about the same result. What was the difference?
In a church,
everybody hears the same preaching. Everybody hears the same teaching.
Right.
Everybody has the same opportunity to experience God. When the Holy Ghost moves in the church, it's up to you how much of it you get.
That is it.
When the preacher preaches in the church, it's up to you how much it affects you. And the difference is the Spirit.
Yeah.
The Spirit. God, I don't want to just hear my pastor this morning. I want to hear the Spirit. I want to get the Spirit of what my pastor is trying to put into us, because there's things that God puts into me as a pastor that I can't put into you. I can't. There's no way I can adequately express to you what it is, because you've got to get it by the Spirit. We can teach about a burden, talk about a burden, and tell you you need a burden, but we can't give you a burden, and we can't create a burden through our preaching, our teaching, and our expression. It happens by the Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
come on, this is good.
We preach, and somebody comes to the altar and repents, but they don't get the Holy Ghost because we did a good job preaching. They get the Holy Ghost because the Spirit started working on them, and they yielded to the Spirit. All right, let me. God said, let there be light. There was light. What kind of light? The kind God was thinking about when he said it. If you know a better explanation, you tell me. But before you discount, I have studied. I have read up. And I've put the scripture together. God said something, but the difference between what he said and what happened was the Spirit. The Spirit moving on. The Spirit moving on those things. Hey, this is what God was talking about. This is what God wants you to be. Well, verse 6, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 9, God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Well, if I look at what God said, that's pretty basic. But if you travel a little bit, there's some things grow here don't grow where I'm at. Some things grow where I'm at that would never survive up here.
Right.
It's funny. I'm not a. I have a guy in my church. I don't know. I can't tell officially. I'm not that. I call him the treeologist. He studied agriculture, different things, and very intelligent guy. But there's hundreds of types of palm trees, and people. Oh, what kind of palm tree is that? What kind of palm tree is that? Well, I know what a royal is. I know what a cabbage is. I know what a queen is. I know what a Washingtonian is. I know what a silver palm is. But there's a whole bunch of them. I don't have no idea what they are. They're palm trees. Some of them they call Christmas palms, but there's Eureka's and on and on and on and on. I said, I don't know what kind of tree it is. I don't care about trees unless I can climb it with my tree climber. And I grew up hunting in the Everglades, so I hunt with people. Brother Sewell, he grew up hunting woods. He knows all the different oak trees, man. I hunted off a stepladder in the swamp. So I didn't know a whole lot about trees. I knew a myrtle bush. I knew sawgrass and I knew cattails. But God created all the flora, all the fauna, everything you see all over the world by words. If we would have said them, he said, what are you talking about? But creation said, with the help of the Spirit, I know what he's talking about. I know God what God wants me to do. Verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs, for season, for days and years. Verse 15, let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. It was so. It sounds pretty simple. But when you look out there at night, and man's still trying to find it all, aren't they? Still trying to find it all. And when God said it in his mind, he knew everything that was going to be. And because it was in his mind, and because his spirit was working, he didn't have to go into detail on what he said. Well, talking about the Creator, when he gets involved in our life, preaching isn't just preaching anymore. Sermons aren't just sermons. Good ideas aren't just good ideas anymore. Amen. They stir something inside of us. The Spirit working on us makes us to respond in a way that other people, what's wrong with them? What's going on? Any preachers preach and they've had somebody hit the altar sobbing and oh, and people are like, what in the world's going on? Well, somebody heard what the Spirit was saying. And not just what the preacher said. Somebody felt the spirit of the preacher and felt the burden of the preacher. And they weren't responding to what they heard alone, but they were responding to what they felt.
All right.
Verse 20, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Amen. God created great whales. And every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 22, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. Verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so, it was so. God said it. Now let's see. Cattle. Beast of the earth, cattle. That's not very descriptive. All of a sudden you got all these different kind of cows. And you got giraffes. And you got zebras. And you got wildebeest. And you got rhinoceros. Yeah, I don't know how they got that out of what the pastor was saying. I'll tell you how they got it. They felt something in the spirit. And it went deeper than word can ever go by itself.
Oh, yeah.
I want to help somebody today.
Yes.
You start, if you think it's all up here, you're never going to get a tenth of what living for God is all about.
Yeah.
If it's just right here and, oh, the pastor said this and, okay, we're going to go on out and we're going to go out and we're going to invite people. If that's all you get is right here, you're never going to be effective. You're never going to get it.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, but if something starts saying in here, hey, I'm not just doing this because the pastor said we need to do it. Amen. There's a burden for lost souls. I don't want my friends to be lost. I don't want my family to be lost. And I'm doing this. And you don't know the difference between effective and ineffective It's a burden. It's a hunger. It's loving people. Everybody can knock a door, but not everybody loves a soul. Everybody can knock a door or hand out a tract or a flyer or a church card, but not everybody's willing to invest time in somebody. Some people just do what we're told to do, and other people get something in their spirit that says, I want to win a soul. I want to see somebody saved. Because they get more than what they hear, but they start feeling the heartbeat, not just of the preacher, but the heartbeat of God. Heartbeat of God. Amen. In spite of the simplicity of those created words that were spoken, we see a very detailed, intricate, and diverse world. Right? I'm not a good explainer a lot of times. People are, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing this. Well, how are you going to do it? Well, why do you care how I'm going to do it? Elder Moody, you know, Elder Moody's funny. The year before you came, we were fishing, and that year he got the hook in his thumb, and he thought he's not going to fish. I said, no, we'll put a glove on that hand, and all you got to do is cast in a reel. I'll tie your lures on. I'll take your fish off. And I had Elder Moody on one side of me and my grandson on the other side. I'd pick up a rod and cast and drop it and go help Brother Moody, go help my... Now, I'm talking about Elder Moody caught over 100 fish that day. And I, thank God my grandson wore out and I got to start really fishing. I don't know what he caught, 50, 60 bass, and he got tired. And then I got to get my rod up and I started. I was on catch-up mode. I had somebody tell me, you know, I just don't enjoy fishing when it's all about competition. I said, well, don't come fishing with me.
That's the truth.
I had some preachers say, you're really competitive when you fish, aren't you? I said, oh, not really. They said, no. I said, no, because I don't have any competition. I got a couple of boys in my church that give me a run for my money. I said, other than that, I don't have any competition. But I got going. I started catching fish one after the other, and it kind of slowed down for Elder Moody. And next thing I knew, Elder Moody was watching me.
Yeah.
When I reel, he reel. When I stop, he stop. When I reel, he reel. Because he said, he's catching fish, and I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pay attention to what... Elder Moody's a smart man. He was putting a whipple on him, but something changed. And I'd caught the rhythm of what the fish wanted. Sometimes they want the lure to stop and start suspending a little bit. Wham. And so I figured out what they wanted. Sometimes they won't stop and you start lifting it real slow. Wham. So Elder Moody, I don't remember what I was doing, but I started noticing Elder Moody just watching me. And he got on him again. And I was glad I did. I wanted Elder Moody to have fun. But sometimes if you're not really paying attention, it makes all the difference in the world. You got the same lure on your line. You got the same rod, the same reel, and you're casting down the middle of the same old canal out in the Everglades. And the other guy's whipping you 5-1. And that's what I say. I fish with these boys, my church, Brandon especially. He concert. That's what he does for a living. And he's going to figure out real quick what they like, and then he's on it. And I got to work to keep up with Brandon. But some people just think you're throwing it out there and reeling it back, throwing it out there and reeling it back. And they'll say, what am I doing wrong? And I'll tell them what they're doing wrong. And you know what they do? They keep doing the same thing they were doing.
Yeah.
And so God was able to say some things that to most people don't mean anything. But to creation that was being moved on by the Spirit, there was a specific response and a diverse response to what God said. We're not all going to turn out the same. But we all need to turn out like God wants us to.
Amen.
Amen. And so I believe that creation didn't just respond to what God said. They responded to what God thought. Okay? What God thought. I'm going to build a house. Well, what? I know right up here what I'm building. What's that going to be? It's right up there. They know what it's going to be. But sometimes you're watching. I watch a man in my church. His dad's a professional chef. And he was going to come to our house one time and carve a reindeer out of a block of ice for Christmas. And he had an electric chainsaw and all these little tools. And so I went and picked him up at a 300-pound block of ice and set on my back patio. First thing he do is got that chainsaw. Like, what in the world is he doing? Just got rid of half the ice right there. And then he started going on with these little scrapers and combs. And woo, woo. Next thing you know, there's horns and a deer head. It was amazing what he did from what he had right here. He wasn't looking at the Christmas coloring book. It was right there in his head. I've seen him do eagles, all kind of stuff. He's an artist. I've seen stuff he's done with chocolate that I'd have eaten before I got that far with it. But it's in the mind. And so, well, how did the elements respond to God's thoughts and not just his words? By the Spirit. Well, if this ain't right, you can straighten it out when I'm gone. But wait till I leave so it's not so embarrassing for me. The difference of how you respond is how the Spirit is moving on you. Amen. I'm just people in the church that are hungry. And they're grabbing on every morsel. And there's others over in the winking, blinking, and nod section. We had a guy in Bible college, we called him the sleeping prophet. Because he'd fall asleep in church. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. That's how he woke up. And everybody knew he was asleep. We got some sleeping prophets in the church. And so, creation is not just a result. Let's agree on this. We read creation. Creation was not just a result of what God said. But it was a result of what God thought. I'm trying to help you understand the whole difference today is the Spirit. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. I told my church the other day, don't let people intimidate you about, oh, you think you're so spiritual and you're trying to be. I said, what in the world's wrong with being spiritual?
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
Right.
Don't anybody make you feel like you're trying to be something and belittle you when you're hungry for the things of God. Just forget about them and get every. Because what happens to you is a direct result of your relationship with God. I had a man, he said, Pastor, I want a better relationship with you. I said, then get a better relationship with God. Because your relationship with me don't matter one bit.
Right.
What matters is your relationship with God. And if you take care of your relationship with God, that relationship with me will be taken care of. You want something natural, but what you need is something spiritual. Well, the pastor's job is not to be your buddy.
Amen.
And we'll be your buddy. It's not to be your best friend, but we'll be your best friend. It's not our job to be your mom and your daddy. But we'll be your mom and your daddy.
Yeah.
But our job is to be the man of God. To preach the unfettered word of God.
Yes.
To preach it instant in season. Now, that means whether it's popular or not.
Right.
Whether it's received or not.
Right.
I can't believe it. I thought he's my friend. You can't believe he preached truth to you? Because he loves you? And so We're watching creation come into being, and when we read about it and we compare what he said with what happened, we need to fill in the blanks.
Amen.
What's the difference? The difference is sensitivity to the Spirit and response to the Spirit. In the book of Revelation, in the seven letters to the churches in Asia, in every letter is this phrase, he that hath an ear. He that hath an ear. He didn't mean something to hold your glasses up. He didn't mean something to keep your hat from falling down over your face. He said, he that hath an ear, he that's tuning, let him hear what the Spirit. Spirit. We're going to read you a letter that John wrote. But John said, I don't want you to just hear what I wrote. I want something to be tuned in that you hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Preaching is not for words to affect you, but it's for the Spirit to affect you.
All right.
He that hath an ear, to let him hear. There's more than what he wrote. There's more to it than what you're going to hear when he reads it. Because when you just do by the letter, well, I didn't hear him say anything about that because you didn't get the Spirit of it. The Apostle Paul named a bunch of things and he said the such like or such things. He said, just in case I missed anything. Anything that falls in this category. That's what you got to get.
Yes.
Well, can you show me that in black and white? No, but if you'll pray, I can show it to you in the Spirit. Can you show me that in the Bible? Oh, I can show you the principle and the concept. But you got to get a revelation by the Holy Ghost that it becomes your own convictions.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I see it different, but Elder Morton said it this way. He said, when people question you about your dress and your separation, your modesty, don't tell my pastor teaches this, my church teaches. He said, you tell them, this is my devotion to God. This is between me and God. And as long as it's just what your pastor preaches and it's just what your church teaches, it's never going to be between you and God. And it's never going to help you.
Right.
Amen. Tell my folks, don't you ever tell them. Well, that's what my pastor teaches. Don't ever tell them. At my church, I said, you get a conviction. And you know why. I don't do it because it doesn't please God. And I'm trying to please God. And even the Apostle Paul admitted, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. There's some things I could do that wouldn't be a sin, but they're not the best thing for my soul. What are you saying? I got something more than law in my heart. I got more than ordinances and statutes in my heart. Something got down in my heart that says, oh yeah, I could do it. But in my heart, I know it's not the best.
Yeah.
Amen. The Creator. There's a deeper message of the Spirit that's got to be received in our heart. What time y'all get out? Oh, I'm hurrying, really. Hebrews 4:2, he said, for unto us was the gospel preached,
yeah,
as well as unto them.
Yeah.
But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They heard the same thing we heard, but it didn't do them any good. I got people in my church, there's no excuse for how they are. There's no excuse for the struggles they're having. Because they heard it from a child. They've heard the Scripture, known the Scripture, that are able to make them wise into salvation. They've heard it. They've known it. But that's not enough. You have to love it. They know they could teach a Bible study. They know Acts 2:38. But they never got the Spirit of it all. And said, this isn't just the Bible. It's not just my church. It's not just my... This is the Word of God. Let me read a couple of the translations of Hebrews 4:2. He said, for indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they, but the word of hearing did not profit them because it was not united by faith with them that heard it.
All right.
It was not connected. It was not connected. It's not enough to hear. You got to believe. You got to believe. Another translation, truly the good news came to us even as it did to them, but the hearing of the word did them no good. Again, because they were not united in faith with the true hearers. One more. For we too have had a gospel preached to us as those men had. Yet the message proclaimed to them did them no good because they only heard and did not believe as well.
All right.
They heard it, but they didn't get a hold of it. They didn't believe it. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. He said, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? We all heard it, but we didn't all believe it. We all heard it, but we didn't all believe it was necessary. He said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, when you hear something preached, you got to believe it.
Yeah.
And if you believe what's preached, you're going to obey it.
Uh-huh.
And when you obey what's preached, you see how it changes your life for the better. And so when more preaching comes, you believe it. Say, if that helped me, this will help me. If that helped me, this. I don't know why people start questioning what we preach to them. When we preach the gospel to them, it transformed their life. And they know, hey, I did what the Bible said and it helped me. And then they find something that rubs their fur the wrong way. Well, I don't think that's necessary. Either you believe the word of God or you don't.
Amen.
And so one writer said this about verse 17. So faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He said, hence the need of preaching. If God by a miracle wrought faith in the heart, he could dispense with the preacher. He said, but the divine arrangement is that it should result from hearing the word of God preached.
Amen.
Now let me back up. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. The Spirit of God started moving. The Spirit of God started moving. But nothing happened.
Right?
Nothing happened because the Spirit moved. Oh. Some people, I don't need to hear because I'm in the Spirit. Nothing happened even though the Spirit was moving until God spoke.
Amen. Yeah. Well, that's Bible. Yeah.
Nothing happened till God spoke.
Right.
The Word and the Spirit work together.
Yes.
You can't do without either one. But he said if by some miracle God could give faith, he could dispense with preaching. But God decided. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so it doesn't matter what you're feeling. If you don't receive the word of God and respond to the word of God, what you're feeling isn't doing you any good. Genesis 2 and 7, I'll hurry. God formed a man. Genesis 2 and 7, Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Breathing to his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God formed man from the dust of the earth. We know God's a spirit. He doesn't have a physical body unless he chooses to manifest himself in a visible form. But the Bible says this. Now, everything before you and I got here, in the beginning, before Adam got here, God just said it. God, the Spirit moved and God said it. But when it came to humanity, God went, and I believe it just like the Bible says, I'm sorry, God formed man from the master sculptor. He got down in the dirt and he formed him.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. God made this man. Well, he made this form. He made a form. Arms, legs, and little dirt eyeballs. But I don't believe God made a bunch of little dirt organs and a dirt intestine. He formed man. You form up a building. That don't mean you put all the electrical and you form up to pour concrete. He formed the, the shell of man. I think he did a good job too. He said, that's good. He said, but I'm fixing to make it better. And God, the Bible says he breathed the breath of life. He breathed into man. And that dirt became animated. And it had a brain. Regardless of how you feel about your kids sometimes, it had a brain, it had lungs, it had every essential or everything. Well, that's what the Bible says. Dirt turned into humanity by the breath of God. By the breath of God. Now, when Jesus talked to his disciples before he left, he breathed on them. Receive you the Holy Ghost. They didn't get the Holy Ghost when he breathed on them. But they did get the Holy Ghost. I want to draw a little parallel, and I'll close with this. I don't even know how many more 400,000 pages of notes I might have there. But God made man. He made a rough draft. Just like when he spoke material, just a mass. And then he started working on it. Started working on it. Commanding, the Spirit working on it. And it became the creation that we enjoy today. But God bent over and breathed into an earthen vessel. I was telling my folks, this human body is amazing. It is incredibly durable, but at the same time so fragile. And everything that we are came from dirt that was transformed by the breath of God. By the breath of God. And it didn't look like much. It didn't look like, God, what you doing, man? Don't the angels. What in the world is he doing? He said, just give me a minute. Just give me a minute. We need to be careful in the church. We don't look to those earthen vessels that God brings wondering in here. So, God, what are you doing? You know, if you want to get me mad at my church, you complain that some of the kids we bought stunk. Because I'll say, they don't stink half as bad as your attitude.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, they were dirtier. They were... I try to be a nice pastor, but sometimes I feel at times, why don't you just shut up?
Amen.
Why don't you go pray?
Right.
And we got to be careful that those earthen vessels we see coming in the door. What's God doing? What's God doing? You know, I got at one point where I told my folks, I said, listen, I'm glad for everything you're doing. But please, let's find some people that can drive themselves to church. Just a few. Just a few, because we're running out. Everybody's picking. But also tell them, listen, if you're driving to church by yourself, something's wrong.
All right.
What about all them empty seats in your car? Why don't you fill them up? Why don't you pick somebody up? And so before you start judging God's rough draft, give them time to work on it. Give them time to breathe on it.
Yeah.
Give them time to talk to it. Because you might be amazed at what some of the wonderful vessels you behold once were before God began to breathe on them. Yeah. And before God began to speak to them. And before God began to shape them and mold them into what they are.
Amen.
And I really need to get to another scripture here. You know, brother, you never know what God's going to do. You know, everybody in my church just knows me as Pastor Johns. That's all. They don't know the 12-year-old that flunked speech class because I wouldn't stand up in front of the class and talk. I just took a zero because I was not going to get up in front of the class and talk. They don't know that I'd rather sit out in the boat all by myself and not have to talk to anybody. They don't, that's a side of me they don't really understand. All they see is what God's done. I'm just trying to tell you, sometimes God takes the most unlikely things. I know God could have sent anybody he wanted to Miami. I wasn't like, oh, here's our champion, we're going to send him to... God just let me go. God just let me go. And I'm appreciative of that. But there's some people didn't think I'd make it. There's some people didn't think I'd last. There's people laughed about it. But they saw what I was without God.
Sure.
But they never let God speak to them and let the Spirit of God move on them and shape them and make them what he wanted them to be. Amen. Y'all know you can stand. Very familiar how God sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house. He was working on a vessel. And that vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. But the Bible, he didn't throw it away. He didn't give up on it. Unfortunately, I had to take a pottery class in school. Unfortunately. And they wouldn't let you just, after you made something from scratch, they'd let you just order stuff and clean it up and fire it in the kiln. But they just gave the cut off this big old block of clay. And the first thing you did was you pounded it. You pounded it and you had to make sure there was no air in it. And sometimes when God's working on you and something gets messed up, boy, you get pounded on for a while. I got to get the impurities out. I got to get all the empty air out, all this space. These little, I got to get them pure. But he made it again. He made it again. The works of God are beyond our comprehension.
Amen.
To see God take a sinner and make a saint out of them. To see God take some of you that don't know the background of some of the preachers you get to privilege meeting, if you knew what they were, you would not believe that God took them and said, I'm going to use them. I'm going to make them. I'm going to go back this. Don't listen to the doubters. Don't let the mockers that say, oh, you're just trying to be spiritual. I lost friends when I made up my mind to live for God. I'm talking friends in church. When I made up my mind to live for God. So be it. So be it, because I wanted to be what God wanted me to be. There's a creator that can take you and make you what he wants you to be. But you get to get saturated in the Spirit. And I'm just telling you, it says the Spirit of God was hovering. It didn't just move across the face of water. It was hovering on it. Hovering on it. There's just something about spending time immersed in the presence of God. That when God gets done and you feel like crawling under the door because he's reminded you how great he is and how little you are, that God says, I got you right where I want you. Now I can start working on you. The Creator's here today to make us what he wants us to be. Simple words can do dynamic things when it's received with a Holy Ghost filled heart that's hunger for God. Can we lift our hands and ask the Lord to work on us today? Pastor Cowan's coming. Can we ask the Lord? God, let the Spirit talk to me today.